This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome to the Raiders in Paradise podcast, where we chronicle the Raiders' return to greatness in Paradise, Nevada, aka Las Vegas, the entertainment capital of the world, so you know it's only right. The great Raiders franchise is there. Luke Straub here with Raider Larry Marbley. And Raider Nation, the Raiders got some of that greatness back. They played in a playoff game, and dang near won that sucker. But they lost 26-19 to the Bengals. Very entertaining game. And the Raiders general manager was fired. Mike Mayock is gone. So never a boring day in the Raider Nation. Larry, am I right?
You are correct, Luke. And, you know, Raider Nation, we are all a parent to that. We all know there is never a boring day in the Raider Nation. We are 365 days a year, yep. And that's just how we roll.
Yeah, we got no choice. There's always something cracking, which is, we want to get some of those wins cracking. But the Raiders did make that playoff appearance. But, you know, the Raiders are forever unique. You know what I mean, Larry? It's like, and this is just another example. You know, they had their first playoff game at full strength, really, since 2002. We all know the story, what happened in 2016. And here we are talking about a regime change. You know, it's Bisaccia, interim coach Bisaccia, probably going to be gone. He interviewed today. But, you know, he was the first interim coach to bring a team to the playoffs. They did a great job, but, here we go. Times are changing. So that's why I've been stuck in the middle here, Larry, the last few weeks. You know what I mean? It's like, we're about to talk about a playoff game. We're going to talk about this game first, but then that's just the start. But let's talk a little playoffs. We're going to get to Mayock being fired, talk about who the Raiders have at least asked to talk to regarding the general manager and some coaches, at least one coach, in addition to Bisaccia. And also Jim Harbaugh rumors. But first, the Raiders had a playoff game, Larry. Man, they could have won this game, dog. They could have won this game. It was one of the only good games of wild card weekend. It was the best game, I think. But mistakes, red zone, penalties. They didn't have that many penalties. Everyone seemed to sting quite a bit. And then Derek Carr threw an interception to end the game. They had a chance to win it after all of that. Disappointing, but still, they showed well. You know, they got some of that greatness back.
Right. I definitely think that it was a great run. I mean, yeah. It was a great run under the circumstances of what they did. Hats off to them. Hats off to the players. Hats off to the coaches, you know, for getting done what needed to get done. You know, there's no way I thought that the Raiders were in a 4-0 to get into the playoffs. Oh,
no way.
No way. Especially after the Kansas City nuke, they were able to do it. They were able to win in December. They didn't collapse. You know, hats off to the players. Hats off to the coaches for as much they could do. You know, they were able to win games that I didn't think they were going to be able to win.
No doubt.
They got through them. They got past them. They got into a playoff game. And they didn't, not only did they not get blown out, but they were into the last drive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's only so much I could say. I mean, hats off. It was a heck of a season. Played, you know, everybody played their ass off. They played their tails off to be able to get in. You know, they showed out as much as they could during the playoff game. You know, there was mistakes and several different things. Or they'll win that game and they're moving on. You know, no more I can say. You know, hats off to the Bengals. Heck of a game. Yeah. And, you know, I'm ready for this offseason.
Definitely congrats to the Bengals. Bengals fans. And I know we Red Larry's has a good buddy of his is a Bengals fan. So congrats.
Shout out you, Kyle. You deserve it.
You know,
Bengals
no doubt.
They
deserve it. You know, and that's what it is. It was two good teams going at it, and the Raiders came up short. But as far as this game, man, the one thing that kind of like epitomized the game for me was Josh Jacobs, Larry. He had 13 carries, but he had 83 yards. He averaged, I think it's more than 6 yards a carry. I mean, he looked great. And, you know, obviously only 13 carries. at that clip. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it was like, that's what the Raiders were lacking all season. And in this game, they had it, but they were too inept to even use it. Really bad. Cause the penalties, and I hate to say it, started with a Darren Waller penalty on 2nd and 1. I just looked it up, Larry. My memory is not that good. and a myriad of pre-snap penalties, in addition to some mistakes where Derek Carr, the strip sack early in the game, and then Peyton Barber then the Bengals scored a field goal, and then Peyton Barber, Raiders returner, stepped out of bounds at the 2. That equaled another Bengals field goal. It kind of put the Raiders kind of in a not panic mode, but where they had to keep up with the Bengals. The Bengals only punted twice. They didn't punt the whole first half, except when they took a knee. So that kind of went into going away from Jacobs, as well as, you know, it all went together. It was just tragic to me, man, where Jacobs was killing it and they couldn't even use it. Not even in the red zone or anywhere. That grinds my gears.
Yeah, you know, it was the bugaboo of the season, bugaboo of the running game. Jacobs was able to get the ball into the red zone several times. The red zone couldn't deliver. Nope. So they got to figure it out. Nope. That was a problem. It's been a problem ball for several seasons. And the Raiders have to figure out how they can be able to score in the red zone. That has to be a major key for them. They might have to be a personnel issue, game plan issue, a little bit of both, coaching issue, maybe all three.
Right.
We'll have to figure it out. We'll have to keep on going with how we do. I mean, I didn't see – how many balls did you see thrown to Darren Waller? I mean, Darren Waller, right, I'm sorry. Right. I'm looking at some of the greats, some of the great players. They get the ball thrown at them in the red zone, in coverage, doesn't matter. They just get the ball to them. Some of the red, they get the ball to them. The Raiders have to figure out how to be able to get the ball to some of those players. Jaren Waller's, you know, that unicorn player, they couldn't get the ball to the red zone. Yeah. Get the ball for touchdowns. You know, might have to think about how they're going to have to do that, because other players on other teams, they got to figure out ways to get the ball out to them for scores, for sevens. So they got to figure it out.
Right. And we all know who is throwing the passes. That's Derek Carr. We're going to definitely get into Derek Carr very shortly. We all know how he ties into all this, clearly. And his contract and the whole bit. But the red zone thing, Larry, the thing that cracks me up is the Raiders are in, for me, it's not funny. The Raiders are in such dire need of red zone efficiency that me, watching that entire game, I just took it for granted that field goals were like good. I was like, cool, this is good. yes, another field goal. And I was just so used, it was just a fact to me that the Raiders are not good in the red zone. And I was just happy to get points and stay in the game. That's not good. And and you checked me on that one, Larry. Thank you for that. We were talking on the telephone. But that's how ingrained that problem is. And I got some stats from Raider Nation's favorite, Josh Dubow, to kind of point that out in a minute. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about that last play, Larry, speaking of the red zone in this Bengals game. Derek Carr barely threw it to the end zone on a fourth down play. He had plenty of time. Even Vic Tafer critiqued the play, just pointed out the clear and obvious fact that Derek Carr had lots of time, and he kind of felt the need to, you know, rush his throw or throw quickly, not use all his time, whatever, you know, try to be nice here. and fired into Zay Jones. Plus the play call looked kind of questionable too. I mean, just from some film guys on Twitter kind of questioning whether Renfro and Waller appeared like decoys in that play. And it was in Edwards and Zay Jones kind of thing, like a curl thing, curl route. Mm-hmm. But anyways, yeah, red zone right there, Larry. That was it. That was the time. You know, so is, you know, how much you put in that one play for Carr or I don't know. I mean, that play was a failure in any way you slice it.
Yeah, I put it all on Derek Carr and the coaching staff.
Yeah.
DC for the execution and the coaching staff for the play calling. And so, you know, and I give equal blame, 50-50. You know, you can't execute, right, and the play call, you know, the play calls and execution. It's just when you look at a guy, you look at mismatches, I don't understand. I just saw, you know, it's just the way it works. I saw the New York Giants with Eli Manning throw the ball up to Pesco Burris, mm-hmm, in the red zone, mm-hmm, on fadeaways and won 2 Super Bowls off that.
Right.
It was someone explain to me why you don't line up Darren Waller on any linebacker or safety in the NFL and do the same thing that Eli Manning did to Plaxico Burress. I believe it's coaching. I believe that's coaching and player execution. And I believe it's 50-50. And it's just sickening after a while. So, if that, you know, I mean, like I said, it's almost like beating a drum. They want to keep on doing what they want to do. You want to go to Zay Jones. You want to go to, you know, you want to go to Hunter Renfrow. You know, you want to go to all the other people who is solid. Hunter Renfrow is great. You know, the defense does know Hunter Renfrow does exist. So they will be stopping that. You do have a unicorn that's hard to stop. So if he, you know, you might want to think about throwing him the ball and just keeping him honest. His name is Darren fucking Waller. So, you know, you know, it's, you know, maybe you might want to get the playbook, you know, figure it out. Greg Olson might want to figure that out. Derek Carr, change the plays, audibles, whatever has to be done to get the scores. Because as I told you, Luke, one touchdown, Raider Nation, Luke, it's not going to win playoff games. It's not going to win. It's just not going to win playoff games.
It's not.
It's not. So, you know, I mean, how many ways you want to slice it, we may well look at it. You know, the Raiders win the game. One touchdown is not going to win you playoff games. It's just not.
Right.
So
and this,
we got to figure it out.
They do. And that's the rub. We're like, and this is the whole thing. It's like, it's well, I don't know, not the whole thing, but it's to get there, Larry, to get to the red zone. The Raiders and Derek Carr had to pull some plays out of, he had to pull some plays out of his ass, you know, and Waller too. And they're able to do it. You remember that long down the middle pass, right? To Waller where he, you know, spectacular stuff, but nothing in the red zone. And, you know, Derek Carr, furthermore, had to deal with the right side of the offensive line when he's trying to win the game. Here, Derek Carr is trying to win the game, trying to drive that down the field. And Brandon Parker and Leatherwood give up a fat sack, a fat quarterback sack. while Derek Carr is trying to win the game, so he's doing these things. He's making it. He's making lots of things happen, but he's not making the red zone happen. And is it all him? Is it coaches? I mean, in the red zone, I agree with Larry. I put it, you know, mostly almost all on the coaches and Carr. But, you know, the other personnel clearly has something to do with it, too. Is he lacking weapons? Larry clearly says no. I mean, Darren Waller, I feel you on that player. I mean, it doesn't seem like they really are. You mentioned Renfrow. And this is probably what, you know, this is what Mark Davis was thinking. And this is where we're going to get into the critique of Derek Carr a little bit and kind of ease us into this whole Mayock talk. And, you know, this, I teased some stats from Josh Dubow. You know, like I said, Derek Carr is doing it in the middle of the field. But this year, he had an 83.3 passer rating in the red zone, including the playoff game. Of 31 qualifying quarterbacks, only rookie Trevor Lawrence was lower. You know, and there's a ton more of these. You know, the Raiders were the first team to get into the red zone 5+ times in a playoff game and score only one touchdown in the last 18 years. The last team to do it was the Patriots in 03, and the Colts. Versus the Colts, pardon me. And the Patriots won that game, of course. And there's more, you know, so it's like, what, is it just all there? Is that a reason enough for a GM or Mark Davis to move on from him?
I think that question is depending on who you bring in and the system that you bring in.
Right, you're right. I think that's it.
I really do think so. You know, I'm talking to other people, you know, outside, you know, the Raiders are saying the non-Raider fans are telling me that Derek Carr is a top 10 quarterback, you know, and for me, I'd rather move on from Derek Carr, you know.
If he's top 10, he's 10.
If he's top 10, he's 10.
I mean, maybe 9.
If he's top 10, he's 10.
But I mean,
maybe 9.
10.
Whatever he's at, I would like to see. After watching Justin Herbert, I'd rather see the Raiders move on and get themselves another quarterback. I would too.
I mean, it all depends on options, right, Larry? Of course, it's like years after years of like having terrible head coaches. We always wanted to fire the guy, but then we had to consider, well, who else are they going to get to replace him? You know, I don't want to get, but the Raiders have got to scour the earth for quarterbacks. It is way past time. I mean, it seemed like that was happening when Gruden first arrived. I don't know how much that, you know, they're clearly scouting quarterbacks. You know, why wouldn't they, of course, is the reasoning. But it's going to be curious what the new GM does, whatever he thinks of doing. But, yeah, I'm with Larry. That's what I want. And furthermore, I think that's kind of what the Raiders need. You know, it's and for me, that kind of all goes to Derek Carr's contract. You know, Larry, I had the thought you could, if he was really serious about wanting to be a Raider forever, you know, don't give him a contract and give him a franchise tag, see what happens, you know, and just because I'm down for Carr as a quarterback, but not for all the money. Because look, like, that's another thing I want to talk about, you know, double back to the game a little bit, Larry, with Jacobs, like, and not getting the carries. Like, he didn't get a carry in the whole fourth quarter. Like, I definitely think that the game dictated Jacobs' low carry count more than anything. But the Raiders put the ball, right? But the Raiders put the ball in Derek Carr's hands, and he didn't get it done. Like, he didn't get it done. I don't know. There's no other way really to put it. I was trying to try to soften that up a little bit, but I don't think there's any other way to put it. So that's another thing that grinds my gears about that Jacobs deal. But it's going to be fascinating to see, and you could even say Mark Davis, if he was happy with it all, he could have kept Mayock, and Mayock would have kept Derek Carr, right? You figure. Mm-hmm. So the wheels are turning. Then, you know, Larry and I know what we think, what we want, but we'll see what. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, Raider Nation, this is where we're at right now.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm glad that we have this podcast right now. I'm glad we're talking about it, because this is what Luke and I talk about on the regular if we wouldn't have a podcast. And this is what we break down in the Raiders organization. And we want to win. We're tired of the fucking losing. We want to win.
Yeah.
And we're dedicated to winning. So, you know, we want to win. We want to win now, you know, and and guess what? We went to the playoffs. So I want to keep on going to the playoffs. And so as you break down this Bengals game, you know, the goods, the bads, and the uglies, and we look at, you know, how we move forward. That's what I'm about. This is 365 days, as we all know, you know, this fan base, the love for this, the love to get to the greatness that we want to get to. It has no bounds, 24/7, 365. So, you know, I'm sorry, I have to say that.
Yeah, no, and winning means scoring touchdowns. Like you said, you cannot have one touchdown in the playoff game. And here's one more. Today in the playoff game, playoff loss to the Bengals was the 32nd time since 1991 that quarterback threw 10-plus passes in the red zone in a playoff game. Derek Carr's 34.7 rating on those throws was the lowest in that span, lower than Matt Hasselbeck's 42.4 in 2004. But hey, he had 300 yards in the game. And this is where this is what it's been like with Derek Carr the whole time. And you know what? Time's up. Contract's up. That's for me. I'm like, hey, contract's up. Unless there's no other good options. I have to stress that. Like, but there has to be. And I have to think, you know, maybe there's not. You know, it's tough. But I personally feel like there has to be. It's just going to take a good GM to find it. And to make it happen. And, you know, Derek Carr is a great, great fallback option, but I want more. I want more. Larry wants more. Just win, man. And Carr, he's good, but these red zone things, man, I'm starting to think it's him. You know, I'm starting to think it's him. All right. So, Larry, anything else whatsoever before we kind of talk about Mayock initial reactions and ramifications?
You want to give someone $30 million to have to run out somebody with Mariota in the red zone situations to score your touchdowns?
Yeah, I mean, come on, man. Come on, it don't add up. No, he's not a 40-year-old Drew Brees. Like, that would be fine. You know, that's the example people point to. No, no, thank you. All right, so I'm curious what the new GM would do with that, Larry, because Mayock is gone. My initial reaction is that I wanted him gone. Glad he's gone. I also have mixed feelings about it because the Raiders made the playoffs with his roster. The Raiders had a winning record under his tenure. I kind of liked the guy. I kind of really wanted to work out for obvious reasons. In addition to the fact that it was kind of cool that he was like a TV guy and he came into the Raiders, and I thought that was kind of cool. You know, I always liked him on TV. And, you know, then obviously you want them to do good so the Raiders can get back to greatness over here in Paradise, Nevada. But bottom line, he had to go. It's those first round picks, sayonara. You know, it's a miracle. Seriously, that the Raiders got a second team all pro Max Crosby and a 99 plus reception guy and Hunter Renfrow. Otherwise, Yikes. So he had to go. I'm happy he's gone, but mixed feelings, Larry.
Yeah, I don't have mixed feelings. I think this is where this is where we differ a little bit. And
Larry is doing the happy dance.
I don't even know where to begin.
Well, I think maybe start with Cleveland Farrell. I'm gonna start there.
You have to start before that. I mean, it all goes back to Khalil Mack. It goes back to before he was there. Unfortunately,
yikes! Yeah,
it goes back to those picks. Yeah. It goes back to those.
Oh,
picks.
Sure. Yeah.
And so when you have all those picks, first round, third round, I mean, I guess I'm the Raiders. I mean, a lot of Raider fans, I mean, they don't really understand, you know, they don't really care. I mean, what those third round picks were like, you know, Mike Mayock is lucky that he has Max Crosby, Hunter Renfro, or he was going to have even a worse tenure than the GM that we had that drafted Jamarcus McFadden and Darius Hayward Bay. And let me tell you why. Because Mayock had more picks. He had more picks.
Wasn't that Al Davis?
Yeah, that period of time. Yeah, right there. It was that.
Well, of course.
That trio of draft picks was the worst era.
Yeah.
That we have seen.
Yeah.
And
it was bad.
Without thank goodness for Mad Max and Hunter, because the quantity of picks that Mayock have had and the swings and misses, in my opinion, okay, let me put it like this, Raider Nation. I've been watching the Raider draft since 19, what? You and I have been talking since whatever, since the early 90s.
No, I mean, I was, of course.
of all the Raider drafts, Raider Nation, I was going to, as I told Luke and as I told several people, I was going on sabbatical this draft. I was going to watch.
Yeah, I remember that. But that day,
I'm sorry.
Not anymore.
It was not anymore.
Yeah. Got you back.
Because guess what? Raider Nation, you can't win just off fourth and fifth rounders
that
are overachievers.
Not when you have five first round picks.
I'm sorry to tell you that, Raider Nation. I'm sorry. That might be hard for a lot of you to hear from what my TL is saying. It might be it might be hard. But guess what? That's reality. You cannot win just based on fourth and fifth overachievers. No. It doesn't work like that.
I mean, Max and Hunter are that good to make someone have I at least understand the opinion, but it's wrong. You know, you cannot, and that's why you have to hit on more of those first rounders. You cannot, like Larry says, build a team on those lucky shots in the later rounds. And but Renfro and Max, my goodness, two incredible ball players, but five first round picks in 2 years. And there's some kind of BS tweet going around yesterday when Mayock was canned, talking about how he really didn't want Cleveland Farrell. He wanted White, the linebacker from the Buccaneers. And, you know, Vic Tafer said, no, that's not true. And then Vic Tafer also reported that John Gruden would give Mayock a bad time about drafting Cleveland. Like, that was more a Cleveland Farrell was more of a Mayock guy, as was Damon Arnett. You know, Mayock said he researched Damon Arnett more than any prospect he's ever researched, you know. And this is where I start to feel my emotions, my feelings get less mixed, Larry, because, like, you know, a small part of it, I think, as most people bring up with this, is the relationship with Gruden, where, you know, it wasn't all Mayock making the picks, but Mayock is a grown man. He made this decision. That's the structure he wanted. I have to assume that he wanted that was what he did.
Okay. So I'm gonna let's keep it going.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So in the third round of that draft, what did Mike Mayock say? Remind me again.
Yeah, that didn't help. That didn't help when he said it was gonna be like stealing to get his third round draft picks, and then he went and did the Lynn Bowden trio.
Of who again? I want to remind me again.
It's so hard to remember, Larry, because they never play except for Bryan Edwards. Who is not a very much underachieving miniature Terrell Owens. And then you have Lynn Bowden, never played a snap for the Raiders. Tanner Muse never played a snap for the Raiders. Like stealing, said Mayock. Yeah, so that makes me feel that less emotions less mixed. I still like the guy, but that was so whack.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, man. It's like, you know, he did what he did, Raider Nation, and it wasn't all bad. But the opportunity you had, Larry, as you said, it went all the way back to the Mac thing. You know, to the Mac picks, that is. And, you know, Mac only got the benefit of that. He didn't have to go through any of the stuff before that. Like we all had to. trade your best player right before the season. That didn't work out. and then they didn't really get anything for him, except for Josh Jacobs, which is a big except. But I think, you know, we all know the story. You know, it was kind of like those five picks were a package deal, a little bit, so to speak, with the whole rebuild. Fat fail. So, So they got to get a new guy, right? So that's the reactions. Here's the ramifications. The Raiders are looking for a new GM, of course. And the Raiders are interviewing. They have one coach in to interview. I'll get to that in a minute. It's a Patriots inside linebacker coach. Even though they don't have a GM yet, conventionally speaking, you hire the GM. I learned this recently, Larry. I had to make sure. I'm trying to say the Raiders should do what everyone else does in the NFL to an extent. And apparently you get the GM and then the GM has a hand in hiring the coach. I kind of knew that, but I confirmed. So the Raiders kind of have to get this GM thing going before the coach, but they're still interviewing Bisacci and the other guy, like I mentioned. But as far as GM candidates, according to Vic Tafer, Mark Davis has four candidates already. He will interview Bears assistant director of player personnel Champ Kelly on Thursday, as we record on Wednesday. Patriots de facto GM Dave Ziegler on Friday. The Raiders have also requested to talk to Colts assistant GM Ed Dodds, and also requested to talk to Bengals scout Trey Brown. Dodds has got a lot of press pub attention because he actually started with Al Davis. The Bengals guy is also, I think, is a younger cat, has Bay Area ties. His father grew up in the Bay Area. Well-respected. He's already had some interviews. I don't know a whole lot about those guys. That's pretty much what I know. But the wheels are turning, you know? And also, Dodds worked with Harbaugh with the Raiders. We'll talk about that in a hot second, but or right now, whatever, Larry. I mean, any inclination on this, or you're just happy to see the wheels turning?
Happy to see the wheels turning. I feel unfortunate that the Raiders have been a little late in this process, especially with some of the coaching candidates right now that we've been talking about, that we've been liking, that we've been seeing. Your boy, you know, I mean, you could talk about that. And, you know, it's good to see some of the good GM candidates. Right. I am a little bit interested in the GM candidate of the Bengals. My little research, some of him, talked to my Bengals folks about him. Mm-hmm. It's good to kind of, you know, see what's going on. But the Raiders are hunting. They're searching. Marcel Reese is in the building, folks. Looks like he's, you know, ear to Mark Davis. I've had a glass of wine or two, Raider Nation. I'm going to be real with you. So, you know, the Raiders, the wheels are turning. Good to see. I want to see the Raiders. You know, we want winning. I want to see what Mike Dobbs is all about in Indianapolis.
Ed Dobbs.
I want to see what he's about. For the Patriots, I think it's named Gerard Mayo. I believe he's getting the
right interview. Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. Yeah, Gerard Mayo. Yep, I already mentioned him a couple times. Yep, I didn't say his name ever. My bad. Yeah, Gerard Mayo, for sure.
Gerard Mayo, he's a hot commodity right now in the NFL. He's probably going to get some looks at just due to Belichick and just, you know, the way it's going to happen. You know, we'll see what happens.
But Larry, I think, my bad, player, but you hit it, man. They're behind. They're behind.
Which one did
you
say?
Yeah, I mean, they're behind. I mean, it stinks. You know, this is what we're talking about on the rip a few weeks ago, you know, where other teams were getting ahead of it. You know, you mentioned my boy, Brian Leftwich. I don't know.
I want to say Brian.
Yeah,
Brian.
I should know that one. But Leftwich, good old lefty, Leftwich, not lefty.
Marshall.
I do like him as a coaching candidate. I just feel like his leadership qualities seem pretty high up there. But yeah, you know, before all that, you know, it's unconventional. They're interviewing Mayo. They got to get this GM thing done, but they are interviewing Bisaccia like today. A quick word on that for me, Larry. Let's see what you think about this. Max Crosby said that Rich Bisaccia is the best man for the job. Clearly, they love him, as we discussed last week on the Rip. The players do love Bisaccia. But I'm going to point to, once again, to the Golden State Warriors, because I aspire for the Raiders to become what the Warriors have become. And Mark Jackson Mark Jackson brought the Warriors up from the gutters, and the Warriors fired him. And Steph Curry and the whole crew, Steph Curry really, was very upset. And hey, look how that worked out. Look how that worked out, Raider Nation. You know, mm-hmm. I'm just saying, like, this is, and that just kind of goes to how important this is, this moment is. And I in general like how it's going thus far, besides being behind the eight ball, where it looks like they're doing some conventional things, and we'll see what Harbaugh, if he comes, we'll see how conventional that would be or whatever. But for the time being, they're Mark Davis is wheels are turning. So, in general, I'm pretty happy with this. Right, I mean, it's good. Just behind a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely good with it. Definitely behind, but good.
Yeah, man. That would be wild if Ed Dodds from the Colts, and that would be, I would be down for stealing the Colts swag. You know, like I mentioned on the Rip a few weeks ago, stealing other team's swag or the Buccaneers swag. Hate to say it because the Raiders lost them in the Super Bowl with Byron Leftwich, but Dodds, as I mentioned, he worked with Jim Harbaugh back in 03 with the Raiders. You know, work with this, you know, I don't know how closely they worked together. Dodds was like an intern. But the Harbaugh thing, Larry, the rumors are out. The Vic Tafer wrote an article today that it said all the rumors are from outside of Las Vegas. Nothing going on really within Las Vegas right now. But The Athletic also had a report that said, the report was that if the Raiders offered to Harbaugh, he'd be interested. So, Harbaugh talk. I don't know where you want to go with that. It's kind of just like, it's the hot topic. What would you feel like if it happened?
I feel like Harbaugh could be more Mark Jackson.
Yeah. You mean like your Steve Kerr?
You know, yeah.
We're trying to find a Steve Kerr. Or Mark Jackson. I'll take a Mark Jackson.
I think that he's Mark Jackson. I think that he's, unfortunately, and I don't know. What do I mean by that? Is he's going to win games?
Yep, right.
He's going to win games.
He's a pro
for you. Going to win games for you.
Yeah, instant game changer. The defense.
Instant game changer.
Yeah.
Hard
nose. Defense.
Hard nose. He runs the ball. He plays good defense. He's a pro. Guys, forget all this college bullshit. He's a good coach.
He's a phenomenal coach.
Bottom line, it's about recruiting in college, you know, good coaching, but recruiting in college. Michigan is only going to recruit as many as you can. You saw what happened against Georgia. It's just the way it works in college football right now. I don't want to get into it. If you want to get into it, it's a whole other level. Anyway.
Can't recruit.
Like I said, you know, hey. You're in the NFL, Raider Nation, he took Alex Smith one game away from the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He took Colin Kaepernick, who was extremely inaccurate, to the Super Bowl. I don't really know what else to say.
Yeah.
I lived in San Francisco when it happened. I saw it. I had to hear it every day. Every day I had to live it. I had to live Jim Harbaugh. I had to watch it. So I had to watch the plays. I saw the team he inherited, which was a Mike Singletary 8-8 team. I mean,
I don't know. I'm not even sure if they were that good.
They weren't.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But
anyways, beside the point. He turned them around big time.
He turned them around to the NFC Championship game. They had no business. Alex Smith. As a quarterback, he's a winner. Unfortunately, the knock on him is he's an asshole.
Right. Not on Alex Smith. He's a nice guy. But yeah, Jim Harbaugh. Yeah, yeah. He's got that abrasive behavior. Personality is the word. And he's just a weird dude. He's kind of weird. Kind of a weird guy. Intense, perhaps, to be more specific. Weirdly intense. But yeah, he's gonna get guys playing hard, like with the snap of a finger in football time. Is gonna be a hard nosed football team. And yeah, you mentioned Alex Smith and you mentioned Kaepernick. What do you think Harbaugh would do at quarterback? And that kind of goes into one of the reasons why I have a hard time seeing this happening even more now that the Raiders are going a conventional route and getting the GM first. Is that Harbaugh would reportedly, these are all reports, want a lot of input on the personnel, but let's just play with that for a second. What do you think he would do at quarterback? You know, and I'll just say that, like, I think he changed the quarterback because you look at like the Bills, Larry, as we mentioned, discussed on the phone, is they're running the offense by and large. The base of it is what Harbaugh ran in San Francisco. It's the same offensive coordinator that used to be in SF. You know, look at Josh Allen, a big mobile guy that can run or pass, and Smith and Kaepernick are the same, right? So, I mean, are you with me? You kind of figure he'd switch it up there?
Yeah, I do. I think that way. I got Niner fans that are telling me different. You know, that's, you know, I'm fighting with Niner fans, talking with them.
What's new?
That are telling me, hey, you want Derek Carr. I got Niner fans telling me that, you know, you want Derek Carr with Jim Harbaugh. And I'm telling him, everybody else that Harbaugh's success in the NFL level is based on a quarterback that can pick up yards on third down. And pick up yards scrambling and get yards. Like, he needs a scrambling quarterback to be able to get yards. And that's not what Derek Carr is. You know who is that? He's on our roster. His name is Marcus Mariota.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people don't want to hear that. I know people would, you know, oh my God, would shoot me for saying that.
Well,
holy crap.
Well, in this fantasy world where Harbaugh is the coach, you have to keep Mariota. You have to see what it takes to bring him in. You know, we'll talk about that free agent sheet next week, Larry. We'll definitely need some things to talk about with no football, but yeah, you definitely bring back. That's a no brainer. You know, the Harbaugh thing, I already said a couple times here on the rip that I was anti Harbaugh, but I mean, if he came in, I would have to be happy with it because he's just that good of a coach. I don't really see it happening just because of this convention that the Raiders are going, conventional, it appears, path Mark Davis is taking here. And, you know, I kind of like where it's going. I kind of really like this Dodds guy, honestly. First impression. Yeah, I read a little bit of an article about him, and that's all I'm going off, but it's some info. And I do like that. You know, I would love him to lead the Raiders personnel and have a large hand in picking a coach. Picking an identity for the Raiders, and really just building from the inside out, right, Larry? Defensive tackle. You know, this is what I think. This is what I think when I think Colts. You know, so that's very exciting to me. And hey, if Harbaugh wants to be a piece of that, I'm all for it. I just don't really think it's going to happen. And we're still waiting for that concrete rumor or a piece of news.
Right. And I definitely want to have a GM. After having Gruden and after seeing how bad these picks were and all his influence and knowing Jim Harbaugh and the way that he had a terrible time with Trent Baalke, and Trent Baalke was not Trent Baalke, like you told me, was, you know, coaching the Jags. If I was Jim Harbaugh, I wouldn't want Trent Baalke, you know, doing my GMing anyway. But unfortunately, if I'm Jim Harbaugh, if I'm going to the NFL, I'm going to want player personnel moves. I'm going to want 53-man roster decisions. And after dealing with Gruden and after seeing Madoc, I just don't really want to deal with that. I would rather go with what a good GM would want.
Right.
Unfortunately, and this is unfortunately, the one unfortunately thing that I have to bring up with this, it is a name. The name is Dennis Allen.
Yikes.
And that's the name.
Why are you?
Because when you put a GM in there and you tell a GM, okay, GM, what are you going to give me as a head coach?
Oh, that's that with Reggie, right? Yeah,
and that GM gives you Dennis Allen,
right?
I never liked him from the second he got hired.
No, I think that's a great point.
From the second,
yeah, and neither did Mark Davis reportedly, and that's a great point. Where I think, like, once again, I'm hoping like Mark Davis has grown as an owner, and he can have some insight there, and understand it of what kind of coach he's going to get along with or not get along with. He's had a few of them now. All right. So yeah, cause that didn't work. Yeah, you're right. That's a cautionary tale. And I think I really do feel, and I'm hopeful that, you know, Davis was so wet behind the ears back then. He just was like super hands off with it. I mean, he was almost like his hands were almost in the air. Like, hey, I'm not touching nothing. He was like so hands off back then. So I'm hoping that he has at least, all he's got to do is be able to work with the guy, does Mark Davis. And you know, so yeah, that's a good point. Hopefully Mark Davis has learned.
No, but just, you know, Reggie McKenzie, this is, you know, this is the example of what we're going to want. And I'm excited. It's an exciting time right now, because like I said, I wanted, you know, I was going to, you know, sabbatical the draft and then watch the draft. So I'm really interested to see who the Raiders are going to get, you know, and I'm going to see who, the Raiders have, you know, figured out. This is in Las Vegas. They need to sell, you know, they need to keep on doing what they need to do. This is not a 4-win roster. You know, this is a roster with some players, you know, some Pro Bowl players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are the Raiders going to do with that? So gonna be interesting to see, you know, what's going to happen. The Raiders have to keep on selling these seats.
So yeah, absolutely.
Going to be interesting how the Raiders are going to move forward.
It is very interesting, and it is an exciting time. As you said, Larry, this is an exciting time. You know, the Raiders are once again in this, or not once again, the Raiders are, yeah, once again, for the Raiders being a unique franchise, they're in a unique situation, and it is an exciting time. And, you know, Larry, we could have had Mark Davis stand pat. We could have had him be satisfied with what he saw against the Bengals, but he wasn't. I'm glad he's not. I'm glad he wasn't. And of course it goes through, you know, I mean, it's a little bit of a reach through the whole tenure of Mike Mayock and what led to it. And he wasn't convinced. He said playoffs are bust, but it wasn't. It was more. And so I'm very happy with that, Larry. We could have Mayock here, Bisaccia, and just run that back next year. And hey, you know what? Maybe it might have worked. But for my money, Bisaccia is just not a head coach. That's just all there is to it. And I'm excited. I'm happy. Happier than I've been in a while, where there's like the Raiders need a coach. Because, yeah, there's, Larry said, the roster is good, just needs some more pieces. Someone is going to come in here and make it happen. We already got some greatness back. Can't wait to see what happens next, who they're going to get. And we will be right here to cover it on The Rip, part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Shout out to the network. You can find us wherever podcasts are found. You can find Raider Larry on Twitter at Raider Larry with the Madden GIF as his avatar. RIP to the great, late great John Madden. You can find me on Twitter at Luke J. Straub, Straub. Find The Rip's Twitter account at Raider Paradise. Always forget to shout that out. And yeah, like I said, we're available everywhere. Please like, comment, subscribe, rate, all that. Really appreciate it. Larry, here we go, player. We're on this quest to greatness. The Raiders have got a lot back, but it's an exciting time. Yeah, I like that you said that, because this is what we wanted. This is going splendidly so far.
I mean, Raiders, Raider Nation, we made the playoffs. We're in. We're a playoff caliber team now.
Yeah.
Raiders, Raider Nation, you can hold your head high now. You can You're the ones now. We are the hunted. I mean, now it's all about us. No longer are we going to be the ones being shitted on. We have to maintain this. Raiders, Raider Nation, Raiders, win, lose, or tie, Raiders till we die.
That's very well said, Raider Larry. Let's maintain this. Go Raiders.
Go Raiders.